air-conditioned. Research laboratories, also air-conditioned and up-to-date with the latest measures. Your desire to gaze with me, your desire me that you are the Soviet Lunik and the American Pioneer 4. From now on, Earth's life will no longer be confined to this planet alone. It will spread onto the Moon, into the entire solar system, and eventually, if we ever can overcome the tremendous time barrier, into our galaxy of stars, and hopefully even into the rest. As incredible as this may seem today, the future speed of our progress will increase exponentially after existing problems and difficulties have been overcome. Let's realize that only 2 years ago, the humblest of all space vehicles, the small little Earth satellite, seemed an almost impossible project. Only 3 years ago, experts were still arguing if our chemical propellants would ever be able to do the job, and if we should not wait until atomic energy had become of age and could be applied to our endeavors. Only 10 years ago, the altitude record of 250 miles for a two-stage rocket was held a brilliant achievement, and it stood for a long number of years unchallenged. Only 20 years ago, less than 20 years ago, in Peniman, we launched early missiles just to demonstrate to some unbelievers that such a heavy vehicle as a V-2 rocket could fly at all, and even without wings. There were many doubters who just could not believe in Sir Isaac Newton's laws of motion, or our interpretation in Peniman of these laws. Although the Chinese flew already rockets about 1200, the discovery of Newton pointed clearly to the sky about 300 years ago. No one really recognized the potentialities until in the 1890s the Russian Tsiolkovsky proposed space flight by rocket power. As a foretaste of the current of today's Soviet-US rivalry, Robert H. Goddard published in 1919 a report predicting that a multi-stage rocket could land a small payload on the Moon. Parallel experiments and calculations were conducted in Germany by Professor Hermann Obert, also a school teacher like the other two gentlemen, whose book With Rocket Power to Interplanetary Space was the foundation of all our V2 experiments. From that time on, the military desire for long-range missiles has provided man with better and better armor. so that today's satellites and spaceports are just a logical output application of existing machinery. This applies to the Russian experiments as well as to most space flights in this country. The only exception is the Vanguard project, which was developed for mere space flight purposes. The tremendous successes of the military missiles have proven amplify civilian efforts to open generated by the combustion of the propellants in the rocket engine. It is this thrust which lifts the rocket initially off the Earth and then accelerates it, thus making it move faster and faster. Most people who have never seen a large rocket take off its launching pad are amazed by the slowness of this event. You will see this verified in the films I'm going to show you a little later. Before we get into further technical details, I wish to answer a question which I'm sure you have in your minds. Why go to the Moon, or to Mars, or to Venus at all? What's in it for us? Here are five good reasons. Not necessarily given the most logical order of importance, but most likely representing a few pertinent facts, impelling enough to make man journey into the universe at the earliest possible moment. Here they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From above examples, you can easily see that the impact of such technological advances on every man's life will be tremendous. We can only vaguely predict the social changes in our daily business, but they will be much more far-reaching than we can foresee in our keenest dreams. To perform these ambitious space missions, we need larger boosters than we possess today. As one of the important steps towards this goal, the Advanced Research Projects Agency, later on referred to in my presentation as ARPA, of the Department of Defense, approved on 15 August 1958 the AVMA proposal for a multi-engine cluster to provide a booster for the Saturn project. The objective of Project Saturn is to provide by 1962 or 1963 an efficient and reliable system for lifting multi-ton loads into a high orbit around the Earth and into deep space. The Saturn's first stage booster. A modified first stage of the Titan ICBM has been chosen for the second stage of the Saturn vehicle. And the third stage will be the new Centaur rocket under development by Pratt & Whitney in West Tampa Beach in Florida. Saturn will weigh approximately 580 tons at lift off, of which about 500 tons will be propellants. It will stand about 200 feet tall, nearly one half as high as a rocket. The first stage cluster will be about 75 feet tall, 22.7 feet in diameter, and it will produce about 1,500,000 pounds of thrust at lift off. Titan stage will be 10 feet and 60,000 pounds. Third stage Centaur will be 30,000 pounds and 10 feet in diameter. The vehicle will use an all-inertial guidance system. This system will automatically compensate for deviations resulting from loss of thrust should one of the first stage booster engines fail to function. The first stage cluster will be statically tested on a 170-foot tower at Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. Flight tests will be made from the Atlantic Missile Range at Cape Canaveral, where a 305-foot self-propelled service stand is being built to handle the huge rocket. This structure will then be the highest in Florida. Initially, ARPA has authorized construction of one first stage booster for static testing, plus 4 flight vehicles. light and radiation exposure will definitely have tremendous effects on humans. And early studies are definitely in place. Such a biological system is practically a must for permanent quarters on the moon or on any of the other planets. We will have to create a similar terrestrial use cycle as we have on Earth. Energy producing food, water and oxygen are expelled by the body as sweat, feces, urine and carbon dioxide. The plant pile utilizes these with the energy of light to produce oxygen, growth and eventually immune. We will have to learn to communicate. This will be the only source of fresh plants, fruit, greens or vegetables on our year-long travels to the planets. It may interest you that low-pressure vegetables are being grown by Republic Aviation. This is a very timid and hesitating first step toward the future establishment of a lunar garden. The limited scope of the present project is to determine how low a pressure vegetables can be grown to maturity. Experiments are being conducted with turnips, beets, snap beans at simulated earth altitude 8,000, 16,000 and 27,000 feet. Since a typical lunar day runs to approximately 14 days of continuous sunlight, we can expect drastic